So when we were planning this series, designing these 4 weeks, Digitology, Apprentice to Jesus in the Digital Age, Robbie has been a huge resource for me. And he's just been a huge encouragement to me in my life in general. Some of you know Robbie and his wife Sue. They have been at our church for 24 years. Robbie has served as an elder for many years. Robbie and Sue lead our marriage course together. And but Robbie has done, he has his PhD in spiritual formation. And he also works at Trinity Western as the Associate Vice President of Student Life. So he works with college students all the time, and he has his PhD in spiritual formation, which is perfect for the series that we're in. And how are these phones shaping us? How does social media shape us? And how do we follow Jesus amidst all of it? So I'm so grateful that Dr. Robbie Ray can speak today, and I'm delighted for him to just dive into the topic of cell phones. So Robbie has already jumped around our campuses. He just spoke at our Yorkson campus today, and so I want to pray for clarity for you and wisdom as you deliver this for the third time. So. Holy God, we thank you so much for what you're doing among us, and God, you're teaching us how to follow you, how to live in this digital age, faithful to you. And Lord, I pray that in this third moment where Robbie is speaking for the third time, God, give him clarity, wisdom, peace, and Holy Spirit, would you do among us here today what you want to do? Mm-hmm. Set us free, show us how to live. We're listening. Amen.
Amen. All right. Thank you so much. Make sure this is on. I'll tell you, have we ever asked more for my ears than we do now with glasses and masks and this stuff? I needed one of those long dangly earrings, I think, would be just ticking. I don't think my wife would want me a long dangly earring. Okay, so a sermon on smartphones. When I told people that's what we were doing, so many people, that's exactly what they said. A sermon on smartphones? But I think that this is a great question, because if we want to be apprenticed to Jesus, we want to follow Jesus, we want to make our lives a place where people see us, our lives, our influence, and glorify our Father in heaven, then of course we would do this, because so often our lives are connected to technology and our phones. And so is it just this physical thing? I mean, it is odd for sure to have a sermon on a physical thing. I mean, can you imagine a sermon on the refrigerator, or, you know, a part of our kitchen appliance series that we're having here at North Langley, or a barbecue? Now, barbecue would make my short list of something to have a sermon on, but that's not what we're talking about now. But it is connected. But I think we need to always ask the question, with the things that we encounter in our lives, what are ways that we can see the gospel, the richness, and all the message that Jesus has for us, and see that, see our lives in light of that? Because it is, without a doubt, if we make the gospel just some sort of an abstraction, and this is a, you know, it's an interesting topic or something, we miss all that it was intended to do. So how do we bring that into the reality of our lives and the decisions we make? So that's what I want to do today. Just so you know, my big worry was that this would go from sermon to just, oh, it's an interesting talk. So I want to connect those points together. That's my aspiration. So hopefully we can do that together. We all use our phones in different ways. For me, this is a great moment with my phone. If you were to, you know, my phone to see my activity in the week, podcasts are my drug of choice. Like, the best thing for me, swinging by Starbucks, getting a free drink with the stars that I had built up. This is a Mennonite church after all. Get my free drink. Pop on a podcast of something that I've always wanted to know but didn't know. Could there be anything better? That's like heaven for me. My wife, for her, get in the car, hook up her phone, call somebody that she hasn't talked to in a while, have a nice talk, have a prayer for him at the end. Boom, she is happy as can be. And you can certainly see where the, you know, spiritual center of gravity is in our home there. But she uses her phone in different ways, and that's the case for all of us. The thing about COVID, one of the things about COVID, is that if our lives were not already connected to screens, how much more so are they now? Our lives have been pushed into our phones because we couldn't physically be with somebody. I mean, in so many ways, it's what choice did we have? If I had a dollar for every minute of meetings that I've sat in Zoom, I would be one wealthy person. And I think it's true in schooling. If you're a teacher, how do you manage online and screens with your class? I know my wife Sue and I would say, screen management is one of the most challenging parts of parenting, now. So how do you figure those things out? But the more I studied this, the more I realized that it was actually in the Bible already, all along. So this is, I've got a little thing here. So technically Moses was the first man to download files from the cloud using a tablet. Huh? Okay, my opening joke, giving it a 6 out of 10. So I think to kind of get our thoughts going this way, I have a little bit of a illustration. So it's audience participation time. What is this? Trellis. That's right. So a trellis is something that guides plants. If you happen to have read Ken Shigematsu, he's a pastor in Vancouver, his book on God in My Everything. He uses this illustration to talk about our lives in being formed to the person of Christ, that we have habits, we pray, we study the Bible, we serve people, we care for them, we attend church, just like you're doing here. Those sorts of activities are kind of like a trellis that our lives grow over. And that over time, as we continue to do these habits and these practices, our lives begin to take the form of the trellis. And they can get to the point where the trellis and our lives become indistinguishable from one another. So I want to appropriate that metaphor and this picture to the idea of our phones. Because in many ways, our phones do provide a form. They direct our lives in different ways. How many of you have seen The Social Network, the Netflix show? If you ever doubted it before, you realize your phone is doing you as much as you're doing your phone. That our phones do shape us, and they route our lives in different ways. And we need to be aware that that process is going on. Because when I pick up my phone, I'm not just physically, I mean, I am physically doing this many times a day, but I'm emotionally engaged. If I see something, like as I was speaking here, family members, you know, sent me a text, oh, we're praying for you. So that it was nice. It was really a warm thing. Or maybe it's giving us something that gets me mad, or there's a spiritual dynamic. I can go to a place that's very spiritually affirming through my phone, or I could go to a very dark and wicked place on my phone too. So our phones allow us access, and they engage us in ways that really do form us. So I've got just a very quick 3 question. I work at a school, so I've got to do a pop quiz. Everyone's going to pass. 3 questions, just to see where you're at with your cell phone knowledge. First question is, coming on the screen, there we go. For how many phone pickups, now pickup is where you open it and you look at it, does the average North American make in a day? 60, 80, or 100? The answer is 80. All right. Now there's a lot of people, just so you know, as I research this, there are guesses all over the place. That seemed to be the average. Number 2 question. In texting, what's the shorthand ICYMI mean? It stands for, in case you missed it. I've seen that so many times in Zoom meetings. Somebody steps away from a Zoom meeting, something big happens. Hey, in case you missed it, boom, boom. So it kind of catches people up on a circumstance. And then the 3rd one, what app does this logo associated with? WhatsApp, that's right. Okay, 100%, good job. Class, your SIQ, smartphone IQ, is really good. 2 things as we get rolling here that I want to reaffirm from last week, that points that Matthew made. First, I'm not here, none of us want people to feel demonized or kind of put down by the use of their phone in this case. Phones are a part of our life, that's true. It's just how and when and where and to what degree, that's the key. To be wise and judicious, that we think of the ways that we use our phone, think of the ways that we use our phone in light of who we want to be and the influence we want to have in the world and how we parent, and that's part of that influence in the world, or work with our family members or interact with them. 2nd, there's no moral high ground. One of the things that when you talk about phones in this way that can so often happen is say, we got to get these kids off their phones. That's the problem. Kids are on their phones. Everybody's on their phones. I was in a few days ago in Tim Hortons. This father and a teenage son came in, sat down, ate a donut, and drank something, did not speak to each other once. They were the whole time. So it's something that I think we all have to do. So it's not just, so just for you youth in the back, no, nothing but love for you guys. This is something I've got to work on as much, oh, there you are, that you guys have to work on. I thought, wow, they're older these days. Okay, that makes a lot more sense when I move to the left. Okay. So, of course, the role that a phone will play in a 15-year-old is very different, because if you're a 15-year-old girl in particular, getting friendship right means you get friendship right through your phone. It is a part of how you navigate your social space. So, I've got two youth who are going to be helping here. So, Jerusha, Cassidy, let's welcome them. I've asked them to help give me a little insight, and all of us insight, into these sorts of questions. So tell us your name, where you go to school, and what grade you're in.
I'm Jerusha Forrest. I go to Walnut Grove Secondary, and I'm in grade 10.
Okay.
I'm Cassidy Little, and I also go to WGSS, and I'm also in grade 10.
Nice. Okay. Jerusha, we'll start with you. Tell us something that you appreciate about what the phone does in your life, and what is something that kind of bugs you, or, you know, that you don't like about the role it plays with people your age?
I really like with phones that you can, like, stay in touch with people that you might not see every day or might live, like, far away from you. Mm-hmm. So it's, like, really good to, like, communicate with people.
Yeah.
Maybe, like, one of the most, like, negative aspects, especially with people, like, my age, is, like, with, like, you become, like, really addicted to your phone, mm-hmm. because it's, like, constantly there, and you can just, like, go on it whenever you want.
Yeah.
Especially with social media, that can be really addicting, too.
Yeah, good. And I think Matthew is going to circle back to social media next week, so glad you brought that up. All right. Cassie, how about you?
What I like about my phone is the acts of kindness on social media, like when you post something and all your friends hype you up, and like, mm-hmm. or you post maybe an artwork that you've done or something you've created, and some random person's like, hey, that's really beautiful, I really like that.
Yeah.
Something I don't like about it is the access that you have, because the internet, it was once this innocent idea of, you know, you can see anything anywhere, but that means anything, and sometimes something pops up and you can't unsee what you've already seen, so.
Good. All right, Cassie, I'll ask you again, what is something, because there's a lot of adults here in the room, that you think adults need to know about kids and phones? Because there can be a lot of stereotyping and kind of generalizing, which I think can be problematic. So what would you say to that question?
I would say that a lot of times I've noticed that parents automatically assume that the phone is like the worst thing in a child's life. Like it's the problem. And what I think is that it's a different case for every child, and sometimes it is the problem, but sometimes it's not. And if you use the phone as an automatic consequence, you could be doing something maybe that really hurt the child, because maybe their friend is on there that they can't speak to any other way except through the phone, and now you've kind of taken that away from them, and now they're like, you know, that could cause more mental problems with them. So I think you need to maybe dig deeper into your child instead of just automatically assuming that the phone is the problem.
Good. All right, thanks. Trisha, how about you?
Yeah, I totally agree with that, because every, like, person's or, like, kid's relationship with a phone is different for, like, who they are. So, like, some kids don't look at their phones at all. They have, like, they don't really care when they use it, and other kids can be, like, really addicted to it and be on it all the time. So parents just need to, like, know, like, make specific boundaries and, like, know what their child needs.
Yeah, good. All right, final question. So let's say you have a younger sibling who's getting a phone for the first time. You're going to take them out for coffee, and you're going to say, okay, I got a piece of advice that's going to help you navigate your life with this phone. Because it can, just as you said, it can take you to awful places, or it can be a great part of your life. So let's start with Jerusha. Why don't you go first? What advice would you give her?
I would just tell them probably that they need to, like, be aware of what they're doing on their phone, and mm-hmm. just set, like, personal boundaries for themselves, just to know, so they're, like, not constantly scrolling on their phone mindlessly and, like, not being aware of what they're doing on it. So just using it for, like, good purposes and, yeah, just being more aware.
Mm-hmm. Good.
I go off what Drusha's saying, and that you really want personal boundaries, and maybe, like, on specific apps, like a certain amount of time on a specific app if you know you're going to get sucked into it. And also, age restrictions are there for a reason, and it's good to have them for when you're younger, because you don't need everything on your phone right away.
Okay, good. All right, thank you both so much. Let's say thank you to them. All right. I have a favor to ask. If I can just ask for 5 minutes, I think a little bit of social science that can help us get to the point that we want to get to, because we are wanting to ultimately get to the point that we can number our days aright. That's the goal of this. Teach us to number our days aright, that we may attain a heart of wisdom. That is ultimately what we want to have happen. To me, that's the goal. That's this formation on the vine that long-term we need to be focused on. What is it to live a wise life? And how do I order my life and my decisions, my influence in such a way that God is honored and that it makes sense with what the God is wanting to do in this world, and it aligns up with that. So towards that end, I've got a 3-2-1 nerd, I'm calling it. So just three words, two graphs, and one theorist that I think can set us up for success here. So the first word is nomophobia. This is a word, it's a blending of words, no mobile phone phobia. So it's this terror that strikes over somebody if they think they have lost their phone, because it, in so many ways, is who we are. There's a lot of discussion about, so is my phone really a extension of me? I know if you were to ask me, what's your daughter's name? Wow. If I'm having to look at my phone to know what her name is, that's a problem. Her number. What her number is, I don't know. It's on my phone. You know, I asked my wife, hey, how do you get to this place? I don't know. That's what Google Maps are for, right? We just download onto our phone and it becomes an extension of who we are. Second word is fubbed. This is a blending of the word phone and snubbed. Let me just give you a picture. It can mean a couple of different things. But let's say Matthew, I see Matthew walking towards me. He doesn't see me though. And Matthew's always chipper and he's smiling and he loves talking to me about how much he loves the University of Oklahoma Sooners football team. Well, I'm just not in the mood for it, okay? So before he sees me, I see him, I whip out my phone and I pretend to be on the phone. He walks past, hey, there's a phone. And he goes past, Matthew just got fubbed by me, you know? I got phone snubbed. Or another one is, let's say this is Matthew here, he's, you know, wanting to talk or something, and I'm just doing like this. That's another example. So it is a way that we use the phone not only to go something towards something, but to pull us away from something. So, and then the third word is this word. It's so interesting to me that in 2015, the Oxford English Dictionary said this emoji was the word of the year. And it shows that the phone, the way that we are using our phone is changing the ways that we speak to each other. You don't say things, but you've got a picture that's going to capture that. And after that was gifts. And then after that, what's the big thing now? Memes. Yeah, memes are just... And have you ever watched a meme with a young person, like youth? Like, there are layers of meanings I don't even get. Right? It's like I'm laughing. Can you believe this? What? I don't get any of it, right? So it's just like, zing, wow, that's funny. I don't have a clue. So there's this ways that people are talking and using image in particular to communicate that I think is changing us. A couple of graphs. The first one is, now this, you may not be a graph person, but what this is just showing is the correlation between time spent online and depressive episodes with adolescents. So you can see there, particularly with girls, that there is a correlation that the longer somebody is online, the greater likelihood that they're going to be struggling with depression in some way. Now, this is debated, you know, if someone from Facebook or Instagram would hear, would say, they would debate which caused which. But no one is debating that there's a correlation, that there's a connection. And that's some of what the session this afternoon, the big focus of the time this afternoon is going to be on, is understanding that relationship in ways that that can be proactively addressed. Second graph is this, the way that people access pornography. This is connected in a way to my doctoral work, that if you were to see over time the ways that people are accessing pornography, smartphone is increasingly the way. You see here the other two are going down and smartphones are going up. That's the case every year. The smartphone is the way that people access pornography, and there's a number of reasons for that we'll talk about later. But it's an important thing for us to understand. And finally, one theorist, okay? I know that can kind of be a theorist. What is this about? Marshall McLuhan, he's a Canadian media theorist, and he came up with the expression, the medium is the message. I don't know if that sounds familiar. Well, he was very insightful to say that when we use technology, and he would say anything is technology, a hammer, technology, the car you drove in, technology, this building, technology, that all of these things shape us and they form us in ways that we have to be aware of. And to realize that when I use something, it allows me to do something, to nail that. Let's say I've got a hammer, I can now nail the nail, but I can no longer button my shirt. that we have to always realize that there are limitations that technology places on our lives. Because it can be easy to say, man, the horizon just and road just opens up in front of us with technology. But that's not true. It allows us to do some things, but it prevents us from doing other things. And we'll come back to that idea here in just a little bit. Okay, so moving forward, I have three guideposts that can help us move towards the goal of teaching us to number our days aright that we may attain a heart of wisdom. Okay? So the first one is the phone and the experience of the present moment and the present person. I've got a picture I want to put on the screen, and I want to ask you, what do you notice? Or rather, who do you notice? What is it? Yes, the older woman kind of in the lower left-hand corner there. I just love this. She's just chilling out, man. I think this picture was in Australia, that this Johnny Depp was somewhere near. So everybody's got their phone out, right? Except for her, she's just soaking it in. And this is what I think is so important to know is that for events in our lives, we now see the phone as a necessary thing. In researching this, it was reported that 1.2 trillion photos are uploaded in this last year. 1.2 trillion photos globally. So if something happens, the phone is seen as it has to be there. There's that adage, you know, pics or it didn't happen, right? It's a necessary part of this. And we see an event immediately, not just in this event, but we are pulled out of that and thinking, how is this going to share? Or what is this going to look like? What will people think about this a moment when I post it? So we leave that moment and we go to another one. I've got a short video that I want to show you that I think makes this point in a funny way. But this is a perfect picture, is how we have this moment that is a great presence. Maybe it's an engagement or birthday or wonderful. But the phone can allow us, because particularly around the pictures, and we leave that and we just start thinking about how this would look or this how this could be in the future. One of the things that is a Christian priority is the priority on the present place and the present person. The work of God, as you read, even in the Old Testament, where God would provide food for Israel just for that day, you read when Matthew, seek you first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and everything will be added. Don't worry about tomorrow. It's the present moment. That's the point where God's grace and his mercy and his care touch our lives. There's a great quote from C.S. Lewis on this. This is from Screwtape Letters. It says, for the present is the point at which time touches eternity. Of the present moment, and of it only, humans have an experience analogous to the experience which God has of reality. In it alone, freedom and actuality are offered. The present is lit up with eternal rays. The past is frozen. There is no changing the past. You can learn from it, but you cannot change it. The future, who knows about the future? But the present moment, this is the point that where grace touches our lives. And to me, this is why this comes into this cell phone discussion, because a phone can take us away from the presence with the person. One of the things when you use your phone is that you automatically move your face to the screen. One of the things that I think can communicate connection and engagement is looking at people. A number of years ago, I did an urban plunge with some Trinity students. Urban plunge would be where you go to a city, and one of the things we did was we had 12 hours from like 9 in the morning to 9 at night that we had to come up with our own food, our own water, place to go to the bathroom, all the things that a homeless person would have to deal with. We had to deal with it. One thing that I will never forget about that experience was that people would not look at me. When I would ask them for money or for help or something, they would not look at me. And how that bothered me. I did not expect that at all. But the idea of being present with somebody in so many ways involves looking at that person. That's where the fubbing thing that I did, where you're just there, but you're not really there, can undermine that. Now, there are times, I'm not saying that you just get so militant about this, but there is something about presence and your face and looking at someone that communicates this, that the phone can push us away from at times. I think it's so key. There's a passage in Matthew 25 where Jesus is talking about the kingdom of God and how we're supposed to act in it. And I've just got kind of the highlights here on the screen. It says, where Jesus says, I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you took care of me. I was in prison and you visited me. As you did these to the least of these, you've done it unto me. The seam that stitches all of these together is a presence and a turning towards an individual. As we desire to live the kingdom out, that we live in a way that people see our lives and glorify our Father in heaven and how we connect into the work that he's doing, that we live a wise life, it has to do in part with being present with people in the moment. And in many cases, that means putting your phone away. There's research even that shows that even the presence of a phone, if I'm talking, let's say I'm out for a date with my wife and I have my phone and I set it here, it will change the way our interaction will go. So I think that is a key point, a guidepost, is realizing the importance of the moment that we're in and not just kind of blowing it off and just thinking, oh, there'll be another, whatever. It's not a big deal. That in time, I think it can be a big deal. Second guidepost is the phone as a context for a spiritual battle. One of the things that, as we talk about being apprenticed to Jesus, that's definitely a priority that we have at this church, that does not happen unopposed. Our desire to be less greedy, less envious, to be more loving and caring and honoring and all those things, those are great things, and I think we move towards those, but they do not happen just naturally. There are things that push against those. One of those is we believe that the devil and Satan is a real entity, a spiritual entity that's always working to erode and to undermine the work of God in the world that he's calling us to. So, and that's a real thing. It's not like, whatever. No, it's a real element in the world. But another part of that is our own sin nature. Now, that's kind of a phrase you may not be familiar with, but it's these things in our lives that give us an impulse and a desire towards things that ultimately don't bring life to us and the people around us. This, when we, to use the smartphone illustration, I see something on social media and I immediately go, why was that not me? How come I don't have that house? How come I didn't get invited to that thing? This envy and that we covet something, we desire something. Now, it comes out of wanting to maybe be included, so that's legit, but it's where we allow something in our life to take us over. Maybe it's lust or anger or something like that. So that, the phone can be a unique place where that happens. And to me, there's a passage here that gives highlight to that thing. This is in Galatians and then in Romans. So Galatians 5:16, it says, so I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit. They are in conflict with one another, and you do not do what you want. So you see here that the Spirit, as you accept Christ into your life, you become a Christian, that the Holy Spirit comes to live in you and is at work with you. It's not just you trying to, I got to be more patient, I got to be more generous, I got to be less greedy. That in that, the Spirit is at work with you to help you become that way. And to those elements of this nature that you want to eliminate, the Spirit will be at work in that to do it happen. So it's not just about you working harder and doing more. And not making provision for the flesh in its lust. What that means is, if you want to lose weight, working in an ice cream store may not be the best decision. So it means putting yourself in a place where it will be especially easy for you to do something that you wouldn't do otherwise. There's an application that we'll have here in a little bit that's specifically about this, and then we'll talk a bit more this afternoon at the session. But putting yourself in a place that is you can compromise. And the thing about the phone is that makes it especially difficult in this is that it provides a level of anonymity and invisibility. Anonymity and invisibility. It allows us to go to a place that, and no one would really know it. And that's, to me, one of the real dangers, because there's something about people being aware, openness and honesty that we all desperately need. Because I can create a situation in my mind where I really need to go there, or I really need to check this out. In reality, I have no business that way. It can be around sexuality. That's one of the things why a phone, I showed there that phone is such a center of pornography use, because it's so readily available to that impulse. You just get a bump on like, I wonder what this, this person or this thing, and you can just get at it. I mean, if someone were to say, I'll give you however much money, show me a picture of XYZ, maybe wicked, awful. Just give me a few seconds and I can show you a picture of that. That level of response to just an impulse is so dangerous and something that we have to realize. Our phones are great, but they can make a context for not good. So how do we counter that through the work of the Spirit? And second is that we have to be particularly aware of how our phones can provide a chance for us to say things that in reality, they are not beneficial for us. In my study, one of my takeaways from preparing this is to realize that being careful with my words is a distinctive Christian virtue. It's for me to speak less than maybe I want to. Now, does this mean that you don't encourage someone, that you don't affirm them? I'm not saying that. What I'm saying, though, is this. If you disagree with somebody, to just pounce on it right away, and you feel like you just got to mark everything that is said out there. Alan Jacobs, in his book, How to Think, which is a great book, he says you should have a five-minute rule when you read something or hear something from someone you disagree with. Because if you'll just wait 5 minutes to speak, to write, to do whatever, chances are a spirit of charity, civility will come to that moment, and you'll just realize, okay, I understand maybe the point they're making. And it just allows you to settle into that moment a little better and not respond right away. So I think the phone, because of that impulse and it's just right there, bam, we can just hop on something right away. So give yourself time. Great passages in Proverbs and James. Proverbs 10:19 says, "Where words are many, sin is not far away, but he who holds his tongue is wise," which is what we're wanting our lives to be. It's to wise. Be slow to speak, quick to listen, and slow to anger, James 1:19. So letting that be true of us, that we hold back in speaking when maybe we shouldn't, and learning to kind of temper that. But also, when we need to speak into somebody to encourage them, to reach out to them, that we do that. You know, if there's probably my thing is not that I just go off online. There are times when I should say something that I don't. So learning where that balance is of when we should speak up and not. And good. So those are the second guidepost, is realizing that it can be a unique context for a spiritual battle. And final point is the phone and the idea of filling every second of every day with something under the guise of not wanting to waste time. Okay, I have a question for you. I want you to answer in your mind. You don't have to say it to anybody. When you are by yourself and texting with someone, are you alone? When you are by yourself and you're texting someone, are you alone? Okay? If you would say, yes, I believe I am alone, raise your hand. I'm not going to call on anybody. Just vote. So, okay, we got a few. How many would say no? Oh, I've got quite a few abstainers. So maybe 50% there. I know it's a tricky question, but it's an important question because we get to the point of, in our lives, of where we believe that we have to not be bored. Like we get to a boring moment, whack, we just whack it with our phone, right? We just pull it out and we just jump on. And I think a decidedly Christian way of living is that we have margin in our lives. I'm going to go old school here and read from a book. I know, how often do we do this anymore? Mark 1:35 says, "In the early morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, went away to a secluded place, and was praying there." Luke 5:16, and you see this throughout the Gospels, Jesus doing this. But Jesus himself would often slip away to the wilderness and pray. So part of our role of following Jesus and living a wise life is that we take time and we move our phone from that. If you take time to pray, I encourage you to do it away from your phone. Because if your phone just sits there and occasionally gives you a, buzzes you a little bit, then I think that that's a distraction. So find times that you push that away. All right. To conclude, I have four applications. You know how, but before we do this, I've got one quick word for you. Matthew will often introduce, a Greek word, right? Or a biblical word that you haven't heard before. I've got a word for you. Yabut. Okay? Yabut. Because you will be tempted, as I say these, to go, I can't. Sorry. Not for me. Thanks. Next one. That is, so I encourage you to think, okay, suspend that and think, how can this speak to me in some way? Number one is do not, and Matthew said this a lot of time, do not sleep with your phone next to your bed. Observe a 15 to 30 minute no tech buffer zone before and after you go to bed. That can be one of the best things you do to sleep soundly. And there is something about having your phone there when you're tired and laying down that is a recipe for not good things to happen. So get an alarm clock. Splurge, you know? You got Valentine's coming up. Kidding. Would that be the lamest Valentine's present? So that's a key, is separate yourself from your phone. Second, do not text "I'm sorry" or "thank you," especially "I'm sorry." It is a missed opportunity. One of the things that a phone makes it so easy to go, yeah, hey, sorry about that, or sorry, got to bail. There is something about sitting with a person and saying, you know, I'm sorry that I said that, and seeing their face, seeing this moment, that the phone allows us to just flip that out there and not really say it. Gratitude is true, but especially I'm sorry. In working with students at university, dealing with dorm situations and everything else, it is increasingly a rare skill that someone can sit with another person and talk it through and work it out. And I think some of the reason for that is phones just, you're not used to that. You're just used to texting it, where you can edit it. What do I want to say? Backspace. And you just can't do that when you're with a person. So insisting on "I'm sorry" is being in person. Third, put your social media apps on your desktop or laptop. I think that helps push you away from this always being notified about them. I think that's a helpful step. And then lastly, ask someone about your digital life and decisions on a regular basis. That's why apprenticeship groups can be so good. And I would encourage you on the way home is to ask spouse, friend, someone you care about, okay, tell me honestly what you think about my relationship with my phone. That's a great question. And Sue and I had this thing that you can't go junior high. Now, no shade to the junior high in the room, okay? Now, but just what I mean by that is you've got to take it honestly and not go, oh, me? Well, me, what about you? You know, that you've got to say, okay, let me have it. I want to know the truth. You give me it and I'm going to take it because I need to hear it. Is have those sorts of honest conversations because they can make a real difference. So I think being open to receive that sort of feedback on a regular basis about your phone, because what Jesus in Matthew 7 says, it's so hard to see the speck in our brother's eye because we have a log in our own eye. That's kind of a weird way of saying it, meaning it is incredibly hard to see ourselves accurately because we have every rationalization, we have every reason. Other people have a way of saying, you know, you should think about this. So to bring it all together again, this trellis and the way that we use the work of the Spirit and that we engage the gospel in a robust and real way will form us and shape us into the person that Jesus wants us to be. So let me pray just to wrap up our time, and then I believe we're going to sing, and then away we'll go. Lord, thank you again for this day. I pray that you would help us to live wise life. Teach us to number each day and to live each day rightly and appropriately so that we can attain a heart of wisdom. That is our goal. We want to know your power in our lives towards that end, and that the gospel would be uniquely and robustly formed. And I pray for those who need to make a decision and address this, that is, that they would take advantage of the prayer room if they need to, or just if there is a burden that they need to lay down, that they would find the courage to do that and would join the work that I know you want to do in their lives. And I pray all this in the powerful name of Jesus. Amen.